You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. We want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program. I pray that you enjoy your day as much as I plan on enjoying my day. And just to let you know, next Friday, not tonight, but a week from tonight, we're going to be having a game night at Merritt Assembly of God. That's going to be happening in our fellowship hall. And it's just something that we do to provide some fellowship. I think the last time we did one of these, we had all sorts of different games. We had games for the kids and games for the adults. There was the beanbag toss, and I thought I would do better at that than I did. I didn't. But we've got a putting green. Thank you to Treasure Your Landscape that we have available that night. We got several different putters and different holes and plenty of golf balls and card games, and there'll be some food and things like that. So that'll be coming up next week. Like to invite you out to be a part of that. But if you are new to the area, if you do not have a church home, if you had a church home but you haven't been in a long time, I'd like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Our Sunday services, our worship services at 10:30. Our Sunday school is at 9:30, where we go through the books of the Bible, and we're in the book of Acts right now. And so if you would like to come and be a part of our Sunday school hour, so we study the book of Acts right now in Sunday school. Wednesday night service at 7, we're studying the book of Revelation. And then I preach whatever message God lays upon my heart for that Sunday. And so if you do come, and we've had several who have come, and they've come because they were new to the area, they've come because they've listened to the radio program, they've come because people in the church have invited them. And if you are there, I hope that you'll stick around long enough for me to be able to meet you. And thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us as we worship the King. Today we're going to return to Psalm 22. I'm going to read just a few verses. Again, this is a messianic psalm, and we're talking about praising the Lord and how important. Listen, what David describes here in Psalm 22 is pertinent to what Jesus experienced on the cross, and he still recognized that God was worthy of praise, that praising God, even in the most difficult hour of your life, is always worth it because he's always worthy. So let me read verse number 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now drop down to verse number 22. It says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. That's where we ceased yesterday. Verse number 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. And so we were talking about the multiple words that are used to praise the Lord. And here in this psalm, there are two different words. There's a word from which we get the word hallelujah, and it means to praise, it means to celebrate, it means to boast, it means to worship. It was a word that was described as a praise in a covenant relationship. It was a joyful expression. It was a rejoicing. It could even get to the point that it was loud. It was a celebratory boast in God's house, and more than half of the references of the time that this is used in the Old Testament are found in the Book of Psalms, to the point that the Book of Psalms as we know it actually means like a book of songs, but the Hebrew, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, means that it was a book of praise. It's a book of praise. And they praised God for all sorts of things. So there was that word, and then there was also the other reference, and that is that it included a expression of glory or praise. You praised God for the things that he did. So there was an entire section of Psalms that are in Psalm 113 and 118 that they were basically psalms that were praising God for bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. They were praising God for his deliverance. And so this second word that is found here, Tehillah, it is praising God for his attributes, for his quality of action on behalf of the people. And it happens to a couple of times here, verse number 22, as excuse me, I don't know what's wrong going on with my throat this morning. And verse number 25. And so I think that we need to recognize that it is not just with our voice that we praise God, but we praise him in song and in music as well. And so I'm not a fan of every type of music, but what I am a fan of is I am a fan of people using their gifts to the glory of the Lord. And so I've never felt bad if there was a athlete that used their athletic ability, that they were given a stage, and when they were recognized for their accomplishments, they just said, I want to praise God. It wasn't that God had not helped the other people as well, but that they were just giving thanks to God for the gifts that he had given to them. But there was also a lot of hard work that they had put into it, but they realized that God was the one that was deserving of praise. So if you look in the scriptures, you will find that anytime a person tries to praise an angel or another person, that the proper biblical attitude is to deflect that praise and worship to the one to whom it is belonging, and that is to God. And so this is not supposed to be just something that is done in private. So look at verse number 22. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. And so that meant that there was going to be this joyful, musical, glorious expression of praise and thanksgiving. In fact, in verse number 25, you'll find it again. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. Something has happened in society where, over the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, people are not really all that thrilled to be around other people. And then when you're around other people, they expect, or, you know, you're expected to be in a subdued manner. Listen, I've been to some sporting events where things, when a team was doing well, there was an eruption of celebration. There was applause. I've seen where the crowd got involved in the process. You say, well, they're not out on the field. How does that make a difference? They can create such a loud noise with their voices and with their clapping and things like that, that they can actually disrupt the communication system that their opponent had in place, to the point where a lot of times a football team will have to call a timeout, and then that just makes it even more intense. They've got to have a backup plan in place, because if it was loud before, it's getting ready to be even louder after that. When I was playing baseball, there was attempts to distract the batter. Hey, batter. In basketball games, they try and distract the focus. And society doesn't seem to have any problem with that. They just have created this artificial norm where the expression of praise and thanksgiving and singing to the Lord, some reason they think that it is only fitting if that takes place in private or inside the four walls of the church. And the truth of the matter is that God is to be praised in every atmosphere. And so when I was reading verse number 3, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. I think I just kind of mentioned this in passing. But if you want God enthroned in a certain area of your life, you start praising him in that area of your life. If you want him enthroned in your marriage, you start praising him for your spouse, thanking him for good health, thanking him that, you know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. If you've got a man of God that you are married to, and you're a lady, you thank God for the fact that you've got a husband who is very passionate about the things of God. There are a lot of ladies who will never experience that blessing. So our praise is not just supposed to be something that is just between us and God. Hear that a lot in secular conversation. Look, my faith is private. It's just between me and God. No, it's not supposed to be. I'm supposed to praise God. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so I want him enthroned in every area of my life. And so I start thanking him. So I'm thankful for the finances and the wisdom that he gives. I'm thankful for health in my body. I'm thankful for, you know, the relationships that I have with my kids and things like that. So I'm going to praise him. I'm not going to praise him on the outskirts of society. I'm going to praise him right in the middle of the assembly, and I don't even care how numerous it is. I'm going to praise him. So let me maybe help bring some perspective. We have different generations that are represented in the body of Christ now. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. And so our, in fact, if you look at the verse number 30, it says, "A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this." Part of our responsibility is making sure that we are facilitating the generations that are coming up to have a vibrant, healthy, and praise and worshiping experience with God. So, because there are different generations, there are different attitudes towards praise and worship. So, I come from a generation that can really appreciate some of the praise songs that are a little more slow, little quieter, creates an atmosphere for me where I can sense the presence of the Lord. And so I listen, especially with my voice, you know, coughing and things like that this morning, this would not be a good day for this, but I'm just going to throw this out there for you that you might consider just start singing some of the songs that you are familiar with. So, yesterday I was in a place and I just started cycling through some songs from years when I was growing up. Songs that are songs of praise, but they also touch me on an emotional level because I remember when I was exposed to those songs. And so I mentioned Praise the Lord by the Imperials. Not even going to try and sing that song. But when I'm private, I will, because I don't care if I can't hit the same notes Russ Taft did. I'm going to praise the Lord. So, where I lived in high school, we were not part of civilization, but we could see civilization from our house. There was a mall that eventually, after 20 years, I think it finally got built in a quarter of a mile from our house. There ended up being some banks and some churches, and there was a Toys R Us and I think a Target store at one point in time. Not sure about that. I think there was a Target. There was a golf shop and things like that. So we could see civilization. I think the nearest gas station was a couple of miles away. We had to haul our water in it. So when I tell you we're on the edge of civilization, I mean, you know, we were out there. And so the plot of land next to my grandfather's property, there were two houses there. We lived in one. There was a horse pasture. And it was about a mile walk for me from the bus stop to get to my house. And I'd have to walk right by this pasture. And I was in youth group, and we were singing this song, "Let's Just Praise the Lord, Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord." And I would stop at the corner, and the horse, they weren't our horses, but they would come up to me, and I'd pet them on the nose, and I just start singing praise songs to them. First church service I ever led, didn't have anybody there except for me, and there were some horses there. And so that song has an emotional connection to me. The style of song has an emotional connection to me. So there are some hymns that I sing, but there's also some contemporary Christian music from back in the day. But because of my emotional connection with that music, I feel comfortable praising God in that manner, because it's a divine point of contact, if you will. I'm not alone in that. There are a lot of people my generation who you start singing songs from that era, and they start sensing the presence of the Lord. The generation that is here now, they don't have necessarily that same song style, that same musical style, but they have emotional connections with that music. So a person was telling me about a conversation that they had with someone who was having a really bad day, and they were praying, and God answered their prayer and gave them an experience that reminded them of who he was and the fact that he loved them. And then they got very serious and said, "Nobody better take that away from me." Some people from my generation may find that encounter to be a little different. That doesn't change the authentic encounter they had with the God who is praiseworthy. So this generation is not so touched with the songs that are slower and quieter. They're looking for songs that are upbeat. They're looking for songs that are loud so that they can sing along with those songs without people hearing the shortcomings of their voices. And so I want to encourage you that as we are praising God in the midst of other people who are praising God, let's not sit in judgment on their praise, because we're more or less bystanders. When I am praising God, I'm not so concerned about the atmosphere. I'm concerned about the one I'm praising. And God is focused on the one who is praising him. And so whatever that is, I'm not there to criticize it. I'm not there to condemn them. I'm there to say, praise the Lord. There's somebody praising the Lord instead of asking God to step in his role of condemnation. So I'm going to give you another generational expression, okay? Because some of this aspect of praising God in a musical fashion, they're just about everybody I know, if you've got a singer and they've got exceptional vocal talent and they can control their voice and make it do what it is supposed to do, and they go off and do this beautiful expression of praise to God, and it's not about a performance, it is about using their gift to the glory of God, I don't know too many people that have a problem with that. I remember when I was growing up, there was a Christian pianist who used his gifts, and his style was very flamboyant, but he could make those keys do some extraordinary things. There was another pianist that was part of the Gaither music videos, and man, he was just so marvelous at what he did, and nobody was like, what a showboat. They were praising God that exceptional gifts had been given to a person who could play that musical instrument, because it was a piano or an organ. But we've got a generation now that, you know what instruments they like? They like guitars. And they like drums. And those people have put all their effort into learning how to master those instruments, and many of them are using those talents to praise the Lord. As we prepare to go into the weekend, we got a minute and almost a minute and a half here. I want to be the person who encourages you. Whatever gift you have, use it to praise the Lord. And be an encourager. I pray that your children see you praise the Lord, and your grandchildren see you praise the Lord, and the people who come to church see you praise the Lord. It is not about drawing attention to ourselves. Sometimes that line can be crossed, and I like for people to make sure, hey, we're pointing people to Jesus, not drawing people attention to ourselves. But other people might be coming in and they're having a really bad day. So let me end with this story. There was a guy in a place we lived, and he was always, praise the Lord, I'm blessed and highly favored. And somebody said, man, I wish I didn't have any problems the way that he did. It wasn't that he didn't have any problems. In fact, he had a terminal brain tumor that killed him. But up until his dying day, he was praising the Lord with every breath that he has. Praise the Lord. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.